the Sippy. He was on the port side of the sternwheeler toward the rear, relishing the cool dampness of the air after the smoke-filled interior of the boat. There was nobody around Jack as he leaned on the iron rail, watching the ripples of the big river passing along the flank of the boat.
Good evening, young man.
Jack spun, finding himself surrounded by two men with drawn guns, an enormously fat man smiling at him, his teeth white in the dim light, and a tall, skinny man with eyes that oddly reflected the rising moon. He recognized them from Ryan's descriptions, the Magus and Gert Wolfram.
You're sure it was them?
I told you how they look. What you think, Ryan?
I think it was Wolfram and the Magus. Can't be two other men looking like them in all Deathlands.
Jack was sitting on the double bed in Ryan and Christie's cabin. J.B., Duck, and Mildred were also in the room.
Never said their names. Talked about they knew you from times past. Seemed to know all of us. Knew I was from the bayous. Knew Mildred had been frozen. Knew Doc was time-trawled.
They mentioned Dean, being in the school up in Colorado.
The thought that such a notorious and evil couple had come gibbering out of the past, filled with such dangerous knowledge, was deeply disturbing. There were profound blood scars between Wolfram and the Magus and himself and J.B., back from the days with Traitor. And if they knew that he had a son and where he was living, then the boy could become a vulnerable pawn in a murderous game.
No, don't think they knew about the kid, but knew most everything else.
Tell me again what they said.
Wasn't much. Just telling what they knew about us, and why they were on the boat.
It sounded like a poorly veiled threat to me.
Where those two are concerned, just being close by them is a serious threat.
Tell us again.
Jack closed his eyes for a moment, putting his memory into gear.
Sec man kept their blasters drawn on me. Smith and Wesson's. Couldn't see too well in the dark. Looked like model 5.86 double-action revolvers, 357s. Both had laser scope sights. Handled them like they knew their business. Never gave me half a chance.
Magus or Wolfram carrying?
Couldn't make them. They kept to one side out of the line of the sec men. Careful and professional. They won triple sick pair. Magus acted almost like one of them robots in the vids. Part human. Had sort of steel gloves or nails on hands. Tapped his eyes and it was like metal on metal.
Word is that the Magus is partly prosthetic. False hand or hands. His face got messed up by Traitor many years ago, somewhere in South Texas or over the border. The story was always kind of vague. Supposedly had his skull rebuilt by some old surgeon. Metal contact lenses, they say. Steel teeth. That's how I remember him. You got anything to add, JB?
No. Long and narrow, while Wolfram was big and round.
Huge. He did most of the talking. Said how they'd known you and JB in the old days. Kept smiling a lot, but not smiling inside. Maybe you want to throw up. Tell you the truth, I was more scared than I ever been.
I can believe that, Jack. Why were they on the Golden Eagle?
Wolfram talked a little about their plantations and mines upriver. Spoke about problems with stickies, rebelling and escaping. Magus interrupted and said they wanted strong overseers, foremen. Run the sex side and stop trouble. Asked if we'd be interested.
Oh, they sure got a nerve asking that.
It's not funny, lover. Not at all. What I remember of them, they don't waste words. And what they say is like the blank surface of a muddied pool. Looks placid and calm, but got all manner of evil and danger hidden just out of sight.
What else did they say?
Not much. What they didn't say was worse. Didn't threaten to chill or kidnap. Like you say, Ryan, all below the surface. Both talk friendly, apart from drawing blasters. Said they reckoned that we'd be seeing something of them during the journey. Maybe eat together sometime.
Yeah, that'll be the day, Pilgrim. Traitor used to say that if you ate with Wolfram or the Magus, you used a damn long spoon.
I suppose that it could be just a coincidence that they're on the same boat as us.
No way, Mildred. Traitor used to say that a coincidence was just a well-hidden plot. Maybe we should leave tonight and head back overland toward the redoubt.
We're having such a good time up to now, Ryan.
Sure, up to now. Up to now, we didn't know that two of the most dangerous butchers in Deathlands were traveling with us. Many would cherish a grudge to their hearts like the coals on a winter fire.
Now we know that the villains are aboard, can we not keep an extra watch? I confess that I am greatly relishing this trip thus far. It would be a deep sorrow if we had to abandon it.
Why not get in firstest with the mostest?
Take them out? That's an idea. But they're well guarded. We don't know how many segmen they've got up there.
If we'd seen them first off, it might have been possible. You have to remember how many enemies those two must have throughout Deathlands. Yet they're still living, and most of their enemies aren't.
It was a difficult decision. Ryan's combat sense told him that Wolfram and the Magus were probably on the boat for a reason linked to their own presence aboard, and that reason would only be malign. But there were six of them, well-armed and experienced in killing, which should be more than enough to deter the two Coldhearts and an unknown number of their sec men. He didn't see how either side could possibly hope to have a clear-cut victory, except at the cost of much blood spilled. And it was an odd fact that the Fat Man and the Magus should have chosen to come out of their secret stateroom closet and deliver such an explicit warning to Jack. That wasn't normally their way. In the past, the two men were notorious for slaying from hiding, the bullet in the back, the garrote in the night, the stiletto in the groin, the poisoned chalice. Christy was at his side, her hip pressed against his, her hand light on his arm.
What do you reckon?
I can't decide.
What would Trader say about it?
Trader was a man for playing it safe. Only take chances when you have no choice.
I got a choice here.
This trip means a whole lot to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. A little comfort and luxury kind of charges up the batteries. Gets us ready for what comes next along the highway.
Sure, Christy. But if we have a run-in with those two sons of bitches, there's likely to be some of us traveling on the last train to the coast.
Could put it to the vote, Ryan.
We don't work as a committee. Comes down to a big decision like this one, I make it. And you either go along with me or you walk.
It seems a good way to make sure that our circle gets broken. At least you should take our view into account, Ryan.
Right. I say we run a serious risk by staying aboard the Golden Eagle all the way to Crosstown. Wolfram and the Magus must be up to something. To something against us.
I agree. But for some reason, they've laid down a good hand that favors us, giving us a free warning. We stick close together and keep a good watch, then I don't rightly see how they can hope to get to us, not with so many people around.
So that's a vote for going on?
Yeah, it is.
I'll go with John. I've never known anything like the Golden Eagle. Everything about it is amazing. Food, gamblers, decoration. We'll likely never get another chance to ride a stern wheeler. Like John says, we can keep an extra watch out against the ungodly.
Two for going on. I guess you're three, love?
Christy nodded, unsmiling.
Doc, how about you? And what about you, Jack?
I say try and waste them. Then we can ride on north with no worries.
What if that's not possible? We're not talking some drunken drummer with a rebuilt Saturday Night Special stuck in his back pocket. These are arguably the two single most dangerous men in all of Deathlands. Bear that in mind and decide what we should do.
Dan, I say we quit the boat while we're ahead. Can't enjoy the trip knowing there's shadows standing in the corner of the room.
3-1.
3-2, surely. Got the chance to hang up the jury, Doc. You for going on or for quitting?
Me. I hate choices. Selecting and rejecting. Decisions that might prove correct or might prove fatally wrong. If only one were blessed with 20/20 foresight instead of flawless hindsight. To stay, perchance to die. If these rogues are out to get us, then surely they might try and follow us, even if we take to the terra firma.
Can't argue with that, Doc. They might.
Then might we not be safer if we stay here? As has been pointed out, we are surrounded by people.
Scum of the earth, Doc.
Possibly so, but it could be that even the scum of the earth might offer us some scant protection from these wicked folks. To flee into the wilderness would mayhap lay us open to an ambush at any moment. They might know the terrain hereabouts far better than we do.
Your combat planning's improving, Doc. I can't argue too much with what you say.
And I admit that I am relishing this soft, rich life for a few days, Ryan, my old friend.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'll swing my vote behind staying aboard the Golden Eagle. But we have some tight rules while we're sailing north.
Stick together and keep our eyes open. Those rules?
Those are the rules. No going anywhere alone. Men like Wolfram and Magus won't do what you expect. They'll strike like lightning from a clear summer sky. Fast and lethal. We should bolt the windows and doors, I guess.
I'm glad we're going to see the vacation through, lover. It'll be all right. You'll see.
Almost directly above them, the grossly fat figure of Gert Wolfram was stretched out on a silken sofa, holding a silver pipe, his eyes closed, a beatific smile smeared across his jowls.
So far, so good, my dear Magus. Will you not participate?
He gestured with the onyx mouthpiece of the ornamented pipe. The skinny man was standing by one of the side